I think I must be the only person that got his heckled before he said a word. This is not easy this morning. God's laid something on my heart that I will share later. I'm just going to have to give it out. There's been loads of confirmation. There's been loads of encouragement. Okay, we've been doing a series of talks on expanding the, what has he got it? Look, look, love, live. That one. That one.
Yes.
All right, whatever, whatever. Yeah. Okay, I am covering this one. Courageously expecting God to do the impossible through every one of us. Every one of us. The Bible is full of courageous people. I've chosen to look at Gideon. We find the exploits of Gideon in the book of Judges, chapters 6 through 8. My initial intention was just to stand here and read all three chapters, but God had other ideas. So I'm not going to read the whole account. I'm just going to dip in and out of it. Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." In the Amplified Bible, it says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of fearless courage." God must have been at work in Gideon's life right from the day he was born, because it was no surprise to Gideon that the Lord was speaking to him. What surprises him is what the Lord was saying. Gideon's response seems muted to me. He says, "Pardon me, my Lord?" I think my response would have been a tiny bit more eloquent, more on the lines of, "Are you sure you have the right person?" The Lord said to him, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" You have to admit, Gideon is well brought up to be respectful, because in verse 15 he again says, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh." And I am the least in my family. Going by his response, I don't think it was a total surprise to Gideon that he had found favor with God. He didn't dismiss it out of hand, even though he is clearly aware of it, of the position of his clan and even his status in the family. He didn't see himself as God saw him. I don't know why that sounds familiar. Verse 16, the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait till you return." Now God is fleshing out his plan for Gideon. Jump to verse 23. But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." Good news there then. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." That same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old." Isn't it brilliant when God is so specific? He doesn't say any old bull, which you all know I'm quite eloquent in and quite fluent in, but specifically your father's second best bull, the one that is 7 years old. There's never going to be a mistake which animal he wanted. "Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. But if you look at this, if he'd attempted to do it during the day, he wouldn't have been able to do it because the townsfolk would have risen up against him. So if he'd tried to do it during the day, God's purpose wouldn't have been fulfilled. So I think it was always God's plan that Gideon would do this during the night. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were all told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." You can imagine the servants absolving themselves from responsibility for this, but he did it. The people of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." Gideon's father actually defended his son, even though it was the altar he had built that had been destroyed. It's a good job I numbered my pages. The account goes on to tell the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joining forces. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon again, so he raised an army from his allies. He goes on to ask God if he will fulfill his promise to save Israel. He even asked God to confirm his word, not once, but twice. God isn't angry when we test his word. God wants us to know, A, that it is him that is speaking to us, and B, that we clearly hear what he's saying. Gideon raised an army of 32,000 men to go out and face the Midianites. Now comes a deep breath moment when God tells him, "You have too many men." I think my response would have been, "No, I haven't got enough men." The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel will boast against me." Following God's instructions, his army was whittled down to just 300 men, less than 10% of what he started with. The Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying." Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. He dreamt a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. The friend responded, "This can be you nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and all the whole camp into his hands." When he heard this, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to his camp and roused them, saying, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." He divided the 300 men into three companies. He gave each man a trumpet and a torch in a clay jar. In the Amplified Bible, it says this was done so that they couldn't use their swords. If you've got a clay jar in your left hand with a torch in it and a trumpet in the right hand, you can't use earthly weapons. You can't use earthly weapons. This created fear and confusion throughout the camp, so much so that they turned on each other, then fled. I'm leaving the account there. I want to look at what lessons we can learn from Gideon and what God is doing through us. The first thing we learn is that Gideon has found favor with God, even though he sees himself as a member of the smallest tribe, that he is the least of his family. This didn't come as a surprise to God. He had been formulating his plan for Gideon and Israel over a long period. Sorry. He was waiting for the right time to put it into practice. We see that Gideon is comfortable hearing from God, even though he tests the word twice. God doesn't get angry when we test his word, as I've already said. He wants us to know clearly. Gideon trusts God and his promises, even when God reduces his army down to 300 men. This shows that God wasn't only at work in Gideon, but in his men. More importantly, he was creating fear and confusion amongst the Midianites. Also, what is clear is that God was in all of this every step of the way. He not only spoke to Gideon, he spoke into his father's heart. His father didn't get angry at the destruction of his altar. He even defended his son. He worked in the hearts of the townsfolk, making them receptive to forgiving Gideon. God spoke into the hearts of all of Gideon's army. Even when he was whittled down to just 300, there was no dissent. Just trusting God's word to Gideon. God had even been at work in the hearts and minds of the enemies, causing fear and confusion amongst them. How well can the interpretation of a dream of a bread roll striking the camp and overturning a tent be interpreted as the sword of Gideon? How does all this fit in with courageously expecting? This is where the message comes this morning. This is where the message comes. The message this morning is a message of encouragement. A message of encouragement. Just as Gideon pointed out to God, my tribe is the smallest in Manasseh. We are the smallest tribe in River Church. Look what he did through Gideon. Look what my hand did through Gideon. I can even identify when Gideon says, I'm the least of my family. This is something I struggle with, but the Lord is working. The Lord is working. So encouragement, 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 encouragement. We can't get enough encouragement. Can you get the picture up? Last week, Sabina showed this picture. I'm sure all of us can identify with this. Some positively, some not so positively. Personally, I'd go giddy if I stand on the edge of the curb. So a roller coaster for me is a no-no. But having said that, over the last couple of weeks, I've been through quite a roller coaster. Quite a roller coaster. God says, you will not know where the next twist, the next turn, the next up, the next down is going to reveal. You do not need to know that. All you need to know, I am your God. I love you and I'm never going to fail you. When each of you chose my son as your personal saviour, I took your hand. I took your heart. I have never, ever let go. I'm not going to let go now. I am not going to let go now. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Come on an adventure with me. Come on an adventure with me. No striving. No struggling. Come on an adventure with me. I will take you to heights you could never ever believe. I will take you to places you will never ever believe. We are few in number this morning. We're few in number as a congregation. God does not want a massive army. God does not need a massive army. All he's looking for is open, willing hearts. One willing, open heart is worth 1,000 fighting men. Wow. And when he looks on us this morning, that's exactly what he sees. He sees open, humble, amazing hearts. We are an amazing, absolutely awesome congregation. When you look at the testimonies we've had over the last few months, it's increased over the last few months. We've had testimonies of God working in us individually or through us into other people's lives. Absolutely awesome God. So although we're few in number, look what God can do. Look what God can do. Come, come, come. Adventure with me. Adventure with me. I am your God. I love you. You have found favor with me. Each and every one of you, individually, has found favor with me. As a group, you found favor with me. I'm going to pour out my favor on you. I'm going to pour out my favor on each and every one of you. I'm going to pour out my favor on you as a group. I'm going to pour out favor on your community. Come, adventure with me. Come, adventure with me. As you seek my face, as you seek my face, come, adventure with me. As you seek my heart, so that you can unconditionally love everyone you meet. Everyone you meet. Love with my love. And as you live like my kingdom. My kingdom is here and now. Come on, come on, come on, adventure with me. Come on, adventure with me. When it gets scary, I will give you peace. When it gets scary, I will give you peace. But just come now. Come now. And adventure with me, your God. I shared with Ian in the prayer meeting last week. We had prophetic words about Ian planting seeds. Brothers shared with Ian. They haven't just planted seeds. They planted acorns. And those acorns have grown into strong saplings. And the seeds that have been sown, they're now breaking out of their seed pods. They're germinating. They're reaching for the light and love of Christ. Those seeds are going to bring an abundant harvest. A harvest so abundant, our storehouses aren't going to be able to contain it. Come and adventure with me. Come and adventure with me. And all the people said, amen. Well. There is more to come. There is more to come. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we just want to adventure with you. We just want to open our hearts. We just want to adventure with you. Whatever you've got, Lord, we want to be part of it. Whatever you're going to do in our lives, individually, Father, we want to be part of it. What you're going to do in us as a congregation, Father, we want to be part of it. And whatever you're going to do in our community, Father, we want to be part of it. Just as God equipped Gideon's army with torches and trumpets, we are equipped. We're equipped with the light of Christ to shine wherever we go. We're equipped with the trumpet of his word. We're equipped with the trumpet proclaiming the Lord's coming, the Lord's presence, the Lord's glory, and the Lord's provision. Open your hearts this morning. Come, Lord Jesus, just fill our hearts. Fill our hearts. Fill our hearts, Father. Fill our hearts. The Lord says, I've found my Gideon. The Lord says, I've found my Gideon. We just need to step into that. Step into that. We're obedient, we're faithful, and we trust the Lord. He's going to build on that. He honors that. He honors that, and he's going to build on it. We've been on a bit of a roller coaster as a congregation because of what was said last week. But this is a time of growing. Do not be dismayed. Do not be dismayed. Just as I said about Gideon, that God had been at work at him, with him for years. God has been at work in this for a long, long time. As Sabina said last week, when the Lord shakes, then something is going to happen. When the Lord shakes, something is going to happen. We're going to get blown away. We're going to get blown away with this provision. We're going to get blown away. Because as he used Gideon, he's going to use us. He's saying to us, as I went before Gideon, so I go before you. I've gone before you, breaking the ground, creating a way. He says, just like in Gideon, I've gone ahead of you, breaking the hearts of your enemies. Breaking the hearts of your enemies. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. You're going to live. You're going to live for me. And again, all the people said, if you need a miracle this morning, stand up. If you need a miracle this morning, stand up. If you're able, if you're not able to, that's okay. Just raise your hand. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. He's here to encourage, to heal, to empower, and to work in us. Whatever you're struggling with this morning, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Whatever, whatever it is, God has gone before and broken the land. He's broken the hold, whatever's holding us. He's broken the chains. He's broken the chains. He's broken the chains of pain, of suffering, of personal items, personal things. He's broken it all. Broken it all. He's saying, now step into my healing. Step into my healing. Claim my healing. Claim my healing. Come, Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you for what you're doing here this morning, Lord, and what you're going to continue to do. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Father, we praise your mighty name. We praise your mighty name. Father, we can't do anything without you. We cannot do anything without you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Whatever, Lord, whatever. Whatever. Come and teach your children. Come and touch your children. Come and touch your children. Come and fill open hearts, Lord. Come and honour humble hearts. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. I said to Ian earlier in the week that this morning we were going to have an absolutely amazing prayer meeting. And we did. And we did. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. Praise your mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen.